Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. It is the two of us again this week. I hope everyone's doing well out there as we start to reopen the country, reopen some cities.
Yes, depending on where you're at.
Depending on where you live right now, yeah. It's a different circumstance for everyone. But hang in there. Things are going to get better. Do your best to stay safe. Mm-hmm. Follow the rules, but also at the same time, have faith and have confidence in our God, because we've talked about this so often. We will see a victory.
He
we will win this battle.
Yep, he has a plan.
This battle is going to be, it's going to be won. We're going to be victorious. Our guest this week is someone who knows a lot about winning. It is Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. It's a very special interview that you will hear in a little bit. I want to start off with a verse, 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, which you have now gotten me hooked on.
Yeah, I love it. It's so amazing and passionate, and it makes you feel the love of God for you through the pages. And it's very easy to understand. I feel like I get it, you know, when I read it. It's very easy to understand.
I've perused through it when you have it, but now I'm just, that's it.
Right?
I'm going to it. I got it on my Bible app. I keep going to it. But I still flip between that and different versions, but I really do love the Passion Translation. So this is 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world, or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. Then it says, for all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God live forever. Now, Carson and I are going to dive into this a little bit in our conversation, because I asked him a question about living in the world but not being of the world, and he's got a really sharp, strong perspective on that. And I heard from some people who didn't quite understand that. So you and I, we can talk about it. And first off, I want to say that none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. And therefore, we have our own sinful nature. We have our own selfish thoughts or selfish desires. I know I have to fight those all the time.
Yes.
You have to fight those all the time. So as we live in a society that emphasizes and glorifies things that are worldly, fame, fortune, status, all of these things, right? It's so easy at times to get caught up in those worldly views, those worldly values, but we can fight back against our sinful, selfish thoughts. We can, when we love God and we seek to do His will and we're sincere and genuine about wanting to live as best we possibly can the way Jesus taught us, if that's the way we want to live our lives and we surrendered fully to the Lord and we use Him as our role model, as our example, then when the world is expecting us to feel one way or to react a certain way, in Carson's case, so many different things that come up throughout his career. But you love God and you have a relationship with Christ. We are meant to be different. We are supposed to be different. And that may make people feel uncomfortable because they expect you to feel some way. They expect you to act a certain way. They expect certain things. So seeking God's will and surrendering everything to the Lord, that changes the lens from which we view the world. So we have a different lens. So we're changing our, you're living in the world, we're living in the world, but we're not valuing what the world is valuing because our lens looks different.
See, the thing is, there's people, I mean, I was one of them. I was a Christian without power before. When the Holy Spirit enters your heart, there is power that comes with that. And with that power, you are able to overcome things. You are able to see things different. You are able to look at the things of the world and go, none of it matters. None of it matters. What matters is my Lord and Savior. I have a verse here for you that is really perfect for this. It's from Romans 8:5-6, also from the Passion Translation. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulse of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. So it says here, it finds life and peace. So it's not like, oh yeah, I became a Christian, boom, everything just happens. It's when you get connected with the Holy Spirit, it's when you invite the Holy Spirit in, that's when everything shifts for you. You receive that power. You receive that ability to shift the lenses. You receive the ability to gain a whole completely different perspective on life. And you start living from heaven on earth, not just living from earth on, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything
flips. Everything shifts.
Everything shifts. Everything shifts. And then you find that peace. You find that happiness that comes from the Holy Spirit control over your life. So I can tell when somebody is struggling with that concept. I get it, because I was there once where I, you know what, no, that would bother me. That would annoy me. Yeah, how come? I don't get it. Yeah, you know what, I used to not get it either. But when the thing is, when the Holy Spirit just takes control over your heart, everything is different. Your perspective is different on life.
But that doesn't mean, that you never have those selfish thoughts or those selfish desires.
You do.
Let's be real, because we do.
I'm not saying I don't. I do, but
You can call you can call on the power of the Spirit within you.
Right.
And that's why I think this, people who know us and have seen us in the past on TV, they've noticed a shift, right? Mm-hmm. They've noticed a shift. And that shift became more and more clear and apparent in our lives.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, some things I value now,
mm-hmm.
or some things I valued 5-6 years ago, I don't value now.
Well, right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. You mature, you grow. But also,
but it's because of this, because of what you're talking about.
Yeah, with your walk with Christ every day, it's kind of like a relationship in your marriage. You have to work on it. It's not going to come just like that. Like, oh yeah, we're married now. We're going to have to just like get along and get things going and
there's no light switch that we can flip on for our marriage. No,
there really isn't. But it's work, and it's good work.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You have got to invite Him in. You have to ask for that invitation. And once He gets in your mind and fulfill you and fill you with the Spirit, you start the real work. You start that power. You start to have manifestation in your life where you see things happen. You see miracles happen. And the miracle is really renewing your mind. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest miracle that happens. It's renewing your mind, renewing how you think, renewing how you see the world around you. Because yes, as you said, we fall. But the funny thing is, when I fall and when I get into these like different moments and moods,
yeah,
I right away hear the Holy Spirit going, that's not how you're supposed away, like, wait a minute, that's not how you're supposed to react. That's not like right away.
So let me ask you a question and put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this a whole different way than we normally do.
Go for it. All right? Like it.
So let's go to like yesterday, for example,
yeah,
when I was overwhelmed with work.
Yes.
Tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody knows we're in Florida. And if you don't know, we're still in Florida. And you're hanging out on the beach with the girls. And I said, yeah, I'll be down. I'm going to come out there in a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out there in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I got tied up in the interview with Carson, and then I got tied up in getting it edited and putting it out on the radio and doing all this stuff. And there was other things that came up. And boy, you were like, I can't, it's just not happy. You weren't happy that I didn't come down.
That's exactly right. You didn't say much.
But I'm your husband.
I'm a woman of a few words.
I know you. I know you. I know when you're not happy.
Yeah.
At some point, and then by dinner time,
yeah,
we were by and I gotta tell everybody, I if you would allow me to, I might put this video out. So we're having dinner. It was an awesome dinner. We're talking. Everything's fine. Guy took 2 minutes, and everything's great. Yeah. And then I don't know how the conversation started, because we're doing so many different, talking about different Bible verses and teaching the girls lessons.
Right.
And Alexia Molina, I think it was Molina, asked about, she's been asking me a lot to explain the Trinity.
She's very curious about the Trinity.
She's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then you get into this long explanation of it.
Yes.
And then I was in the kitchen, and I was like, this is beautiful. I'm going to video it. And I just took a video. And you guys didn't even notice. I'm behind you, and I'm taking a video as you're explaining the Trinity to the girls. But to go back to my point was, at some point, did you feel my husband isn't showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I carried all these things out to the beach.
Right.
He's supposed to come down here and hang out with me. And he's not, and he's tied up with work again, because even though there's no sports going on, he still finds ways to constantly write stories and do stuff.
Let me tell you, thank you, Jesus, that there is work.
Did you feel convicted?
Yes, because the funny thing is, I was preparing a sermon about mothers. I mean, that's just how the Spirit works, you know what I'm saying? He don't mess around. He goes, oh, sister, you're preparing a what now? A sermon about mothers and wives? All right. And then you're mad at your husband. That's funny.
For doing work!
That's very funny, sister.
Work.
That's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I was convicted right there and then. But then obviously, like, it got the best of me when I was just like, I'm still not going to say anything. You know what I mean?
Now, but, telling me to say sorry.
But then.
But see, this is the stuff that happens
to
us.
Yes, it happens. But then
all the time.
But the funny thing is, I got convicted immediately, like right away. And that's, I told myself, you just don't do that. That's just wrong. Like, you know, he's busy doing something. And it's just like, this is what, and the funny thing is, that's what the girls were asking about. How does the devil get in your head?
I know, you know? That was a powerful conversation.
Yes, how does, you know, evil thoughts work.
Yeah.
And then they thought it was like a big thing. And I said, no, it's the daily little moments that happen that gets to you. And I'm talking to them and I'm thinking to myself, yo, that's what just happened to me 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So that's how things happen. It's the little things. And if you let that tiny little moment control you, it can, like, I mean, it used to take days from us to get back like into talking.
I would say a day.
I don't know. You used to be
the queen of silence for several hours.
Sign treatment was magic.
You know, I'm going to tell everybody a little story now.
I'm going to tell everybody a little story.
Because this goes back into your view, into our views. This was on our honeymoon.
Yeah, man.
On our honeymoon. Where'd we go? Cozumel, right?
Yes.
We went to Cozumel. This is coming up now on May 19th. Will be the eight-year anniversary of our wedding.
Aww.
So we are in Cozumel. Mm-hmm. We just got married. We didn't live together.
No.
We didn't do any of that.
No.
So I didn't even know how fabulous or phenomenal of a cook chef you are.
Yes.
Until I didn't have a meal. You didn't make me a meal till we got
married. I didn't cook for you till I marry you. Mm-mm.
I made you a meal. I made you a meal.
Women, take notes.
Our first Valentine's Day together, I made you a salmon dinner.
You did.
I didn't even eat fish, but I just Googled it and I made it. How about that potato I made too?
So
that was
good.
Like, I don't even want to.
It was the one and only meal you ever cooked for me. It's been 8 years. I mean, it's time.
I know. I'm time. Maybe I'll do that this Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We're on the beach in Cozumel. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And you wanted me to take pictures of you.
Yes.
I think I've talked about this on the show at some point. So I get up and I'm just trying to lay out on the beach or in the pool. I love laying in it. We were in the pool. I'm sitting there, whatever. It's beautiful. And you're like, take a picture. And I take a picture. And I take a picture. And you were so particular about how the picture looks.
Yes, of course.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you got annoyed with me because I just wanted to sit there and went, I'm telling you, on our honeymoon, about 5 hours of silent treatment.
Yes, it was so fabulous.
Now you're still saying it's fabulous. You're still not convicted about it.
Let me tell you something. No, I am now. I would never do that now. But I'm just saying, when you have to work stuff out, you really have to. When you're in the beginning of your relationship, things just come up, and especially for us, we didn't like live together. We didn't do this whole like boyfriend girlfriend thing for years or anything like that.
We dated for 11 months or something.
Yeah, we did this like fast. But the thing is, with that comes a lot of things that you need to learn about a person. And with that, you need the Holy Spirit the most, because you need to go through things and you need to learn, and it's like a learning curve. And by God's grace, we made it, and by God's grace, we're here.
Amen.
And we were, and now it takes us 2 minutes to get over a little argument, and or whatever. And that's just the power of just getting things to work out by the Holy Spirit's power. It really is awesome.
This is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Let's go to this interview when we come back. And then after that, there's another verse that you want to bring up that I absolutely love. We'll play the interview, and then we'll talk about it from our perspective.
Yeah.
Okay? So when we come back, you're going to hear a very special interview with Carson Wentz. You don't want to miss this. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. If you missed any of our episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show. Listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti, except on Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about various speaking appearances that we're going to do, other events that we're hosting. And Remy, this Sunday, actually, will be on Mother's Day. She'll be preaching a virtual sermon for our good friend, Pastor Rob Pinckney's church, Abundant Life Ministries in Philadelphia. You can watch it live on Facebook at 11:30. She will give you more information on her social. We'll put it out there for you, too. The following week, on May 17th, I'll be preaching a virtual sermon as part of the Comfy Cozy Church online worship service for Pastor Beth Caulfield, Franklinville United Methodist Church, and Newfield UMC. You could tune in live 10 a.m. on their Facebook pages, and you can also watch it on the YouTube channel called Comfy Cozy Church. Our guest this week is Carson Wentz. Carson is entering his fifth season in the NFL as the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was excellent down the stretch last season, led the Eagles to the NFC East title. He finished third in NFL MVP voting in 2017. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl after he tore two knee ligaments and was forced to watch from the sideline as Nick Foles led Philly to their first ever Super Bowl title, a win over the Patriots. Carson has had to deal with some setbacks and disappointments throughout his career, but he's also had a tremendous amount of success. He's persevered because he is a strong man of faith. His foundation is in Christ. We talked about the Eagles drafting quarterback Jalen Hurts in the second round of the draft earlier this month, how that's led to constant speculation. That stuff never really ends. Media and fans are always going to manufacture quarterback controversies when they don't exist, and then there are actual quarterback controversies, but there isn't one in Philadelphia. We're also going to talk about his work through the AO1 Foundation and the virtual day of relief that they're having, or had, depending on when you're listening to this, on May 8th, Friday, May 8th, the money raised will benefit Love for the Crumb, which is AO1's new initiative in partnership with Pastor Kyle and the Connect Church. They partnered to start Thy Kingdom Crumb, that awesome food truck that goes around sharing meals and the love of Jesus with people all across the Philadelphia, South Jersey area. And now, in response to the COVID-19 outbreak, Love from the Crumb is going around delivering groceries and supplies and so many things that people need at this time. So go to AO1Foundation.org to check out how you can help. I spoke to Carson this week. The interview first aired on the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia, where I host when my schedule allows on weekends. I am extremely grateful to Mike and his team, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff, the Fanatics Assistant Program Director, Eric Camille, who gave the green light to play this interview in its entirety. And then Devon Givens also aired it on his show the same night. I heard from so many people who appreciated hearing Carson talk so openly about his faith and giving fans and listeners insight into who he is, what he stands for, and who he stands for, and that, and really how that shapes how he lives his life. Here is my interview with Carson Wentz. Carson, first off, congratulations to you and Maddie on the birth of your beautiful little girl. Like I said to you last week, there's nothing, man, better than being a girl dad. Enjoy every moment. Wait till you hear I love you. Are you getting any sleep? Are you getting a hang of diaper changing? How's that working out for you?
Well, thank you. It's been quite the blessing, quite the adventure so far. All I can say is my wife has been incredible. She is a complete rock star, and she's been holding it down. But you know, I'm helping when and where I can. You know, I've become quite skilled at changing diapers already, so feel pretty confident in that. But no, it's been a lot of fun. Sleeping's okay, and like I said, I owe a lot of credit to my wife. She's holding it down.
You got it easy, man. I had two at the same time. So when you're going through it with one, it's a little simpler than twins. So hang in there.
No doubt. Thank you.
I know you spoke Monday to all of us, and the biggest topic of conversation was the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts. You said you were excited. You trust Howie and the coaches. Some people may view that as you being politically correct, media savvy, or whatever. Carson knows how to avoid controversy. He knows how to say the right things. There's an expectation that you should be mad, right? That you should be bitter. But we know those are worldly views. I know you to be a strong man of faith. So can you explain how being someone who lives in the world but isn't of the world, I might be getting a little deep, Carson, in Christianity, but how does that help you, though, when you're living in the world but you're not of it? How does that help you navigate through these situations that people in the outside may expect you to have a different reaction, but you really don't?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a great question, and I mean, you're right on. You're spot on with that kind of perspective, and it can be easy to get consumed with your worldly, fleshly train of thought or your desires or whatever, but when you can look at everything from an eternal perspective, from a biblical perspective, and just know that, you know, this is so much bigger than just me and my life or where I'm at in my career or football. It's so much bigger. It's God's perfect plan. It's his sovereignty, interwoven with every one of our lives. And so for me to just fully trust, fully surrender that, all right, God, I'm just here in full surrender to you. And I want to give everything I can in my life to ultimately glorify you as best I can. It just gives me a different perspective with everything that comes my way, the good, the bad, the ugly. Like I said, it's not always the easiest to kind of have that train of thought, but you know, the Bible talks about having a renewed mind, and so for me that's a daily thing to have my mind renewed by the word and just fully surrender to the Lord.
Now, none of us are perfect, Carson. We're human. We're all going to have moments of frustration. We're going to have moments, maybe sometimes self-doubt. You're a competitor. You always want to win. I know that. I think I spoke to your mom like 2 years ago, and she's like, he wants to win in just like games at home, doing whatever it is. You believe in yourself. So when Howie calls you and he says, well, the team's going to draft another quarterback in the second round, what's your initial reaction? But then how quickly do you transition to everything you just said? It's bigger than me. This is God's perfect plan.
Yeah, I mean, to be frank, my initial reaction is I want to know about the kid, because I know as quarterbacks, we're together a lot. We're in the same meeting rooms. We're in there early watching film. I mean, you know, we do everything together. So my initial reaction is I want to know how he is as a human being. And so just because I believe wholeheartedly that we're going to hit it off and we'll be stronger together for the good of the team. And that's always my initial reaction because, like I said, that quarterback kind of room, and it's almost like our sanctuary. Like we're just, it's a bunch of minds together for the common good of the team. And so that's my first reaction is how is he as a kid? Now I've gotten a chance to talk to him, and, you know, we'll get to know him in person more at a later date. But, you know, I'm excited to get to work with him and just bring in more minds and more different personalities that can help the team be better.
Now, you talk about how close you and the quarterbacks work together, and you've had an opportunity to work with in guys like Chase Daniel, Nick Foles, Nate Sudfeld, Josh McCown, guys who, like you, are strong men of faith. And
yep.
Jalen, I'm sure you found out already, is another strong believer. So how much does having something that is so important to you be common ground with these other guys in that QB room? How does that help you in your relationship and the camaraderie with those men? And how much are you looking forward to not just studying the playbook with Jalen, but maybe studying, spending time in the Word, devotionals, and fellowship time?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I've gathered that about him, and I look forward to those conversations. And anytime you have a brother in Christ, I mean, it just seems like you instantly connect and you instantly know that person on a deeper level because of the mutual relationship that you share with Christ. And so that kind of just it allows everyone's walls to just go down and recognize that, hey, we're playing football, but it's for such a bigger purpose than just wins and losses on Sundays. And so it kind of changes the dynamic in those meeting rooms, at the facility, all of those things. And like you said, I've been fortunate enough to be surrounded by a handful of other quarterbacks that, you know, share the same values, same beliefs, and the same faith as me, and it just ultimately is a more uplifting, a more encouraging, a more positive environment for all of us.
When you were asked Monday, Carson, about maybe being on the field together, gadget plays, whatever, you said, we'll see. And you added, you're not going to give away coaches' secrets, the trade secrets. The we'll see part was interpreted by some to mean Carson's not having it. You think, was that taken out of context?
I mean, I could say there's a lot of things that get taken out of context when it comes to media stuff. But, you know, I just don't know what coach's plan is, you know, okay, to be straight up. You know, we haven't, you know, been able to dive into all of that stuff. And I'm confident, you know, I've never questioned coach's ability to call a game and put together great game plans in the past. So I don't think that's going to change. You know, whatever he has up his sleeve, if it's going to help us win games, you know, I'm on board.
How are your hands? You ever catch passes, run routes?
I caught a touchdown in college once. I feel pretty confident in my hands and my pass catching ability, but hopefully I don't have to.
I got one more football question for you because we're hearing some reports, and I know the answer to this, but I want you to put it out there for everybody. Some reports that maybe the Eagles might be interested in Jadeveon Clowney, and obviously, he ended your season last year in what many of us, you're not going to say it, but many of us thought was a cheap shot. If the Eagles were to go that direction, would you expect Howie to even call you about it, or does he know that you're going to embrace Jadeveon wholeheartedly because he would help the team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, talk about speculations and all of those things, but kind of the same kind of messaging that I've always shared is just, you know, what Howie and what those the rest of the people around him in the organization feel is the best fit for us. I have the utmost confidence in their ability to put those pieces together. So whoever it is, whatever the pieces are, I believe in them. And you know, if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have signed that contract last year to, you know, be fully invested in this team and in this city. But I did. And I have the utmost confidence in everyone's ability to, you know, make the team as good and put us in the best situation to win games.
Carson, on Friday you were supposed to have the third annual softball game. That's not happening because of the virus shutdown. The turnout, man, for the first two were great. So many fans, the support from the fans, but the support from your teammates, it's coming together. And coming out there and playing in that game, you guys raised a lot of money for the AO1 Foundation. What was your favorite part? What's been your favorite part of the event the first 2 years?
Um, pro- probably what you just said would be my favorite part, is just seeing all the guys, seeing them get together, kind of rally around a cause, but to have a lot of fun. You know, they're out there interacting with the fans. They're, you know, some of them are terrible at softball. Some of them are actually pretty good, but everyone's just out having fun together. And it's really, it's a team building, team bonding, you know, evening for us as players. But it also, like you mentioned, it raises a lot of money for us, with what we're doing with the AO1 Foundation, and enables us to give back in a handful of different ways. And so it's just an overall an amazing event. And obviously, I know I'm bummed. I know a lot of guys are bummed that we're not able to have it. I know Jake Elliott texted me right when we canceled it and said how disappointed he was, because he's usually one of the stars of the night. So, yeah, I mean, I would just say being around the guys in a different capacity and really bonding with them and having fun with them and interacting with the fans is something that I'm going to miss for sure.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't seen Jake Elliott, he's an absolute stud at shortstop, man. He's really good. He's not just a kicker. He's an all-around athlete. So instead, you guys are going to have, on Friday, the AO1 Foundation will host a Day of Relief, and it's going to be a 24-hour virtual fundraising campaign to support what's your latest initiative, Love from the Crumb. And you're going to have these silent auctions, giveaways. I already looked online and I saw incredible items that people can bid on, jerseys that are signed, cleats, a football. Everyone can check it out for themselves at AO1Foundation.org, and they can follow along on all of AO1's social media channels, and I'm sure yours too as well. So tell us what you're doing and why you weren't gonna just allow, okay, this virus outbreak is shutting the game down, but it's not gonna shut down my giving.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this Day of Relief is really, you know, our way of doing everything we can amidst this virus to still have that fundraiser, still have that fun event. It just looks different. It's a virtual fundraiser. We're challenging everybody to be involved, because at the end of the day, every dollar that we raise and are able to bring in is going to go right back into the Philadelphia and surrounding areas in the communities through our Love from the Crumb initiative, which has been just giving out grocery boxes to so many different people in need, from people on the front line in the hospitals to kids that are, you know, and kids and families that are struggling to even get food and to make ends meet, to police forces, to firefighters, you name it. We're just spreading the love around and just giving out a tangible blessing, you know, of food, of groceries, of essential items, from paper towels to toilet paper, all of that. And so just to be able to give back, it looks different now than our normal food truck does, but we're still able to bless people physically and spiritually through this time. And that's what it's all about, you know, in these tough times, is finding ways to really just rally together to give back. And we feel we have a really good methodology for giving back, and everyone can get on board with what we're doing and potentially participate. And, you know, all the funds will be going to a really good cause.
We've talked about this before, but for those hearing for the first time, I know you are genuine about helping others. It's from the heart. It's sincere. Why is that so important to you to give back? Where do you get that servant's heart from?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, my faith is the number one reason why I want to give back. And just seeing how Jesus, the creator of everything, came down to serve and not to be served. You know, for me, that's the ultimate example. And so, you know, to have this position of influence that this NFL gives us, to use it for good and to give back and to influence and inspire others to give back. I believe that's what God kind of put me on this earth for. So, you know, just to have that servant's heart, the way Jesus did, that's ultimately he's my role model. He's my idol for that. And, that's why I do what I do.
Well, Carson, as always, man, appreciate your time. Good luck with everything on Friday. And you got a big day coming up on Sunday. It's going to be Maddie's first Mother's Day, so I'm sure you're going to take care of her, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
That was Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. We'll be back to talk about it. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields. Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website. Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Okay, you just heard from Carson Wentz, and there was a lot in that conversation. We talked about football. The big topic that has happened in Philadelphia with the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round, a quarterback, another strong brother in Christ believer who I'm sure at some point down the road I'll have on this show once I actually get to meet Jalen, was the fact that the Eagles reached out in the second round, 53rd pick, rather than adding another playmaker to complement the offense to help their franchise quarterback Carson Wentz, they used a premium pick like that on another quarterback. So the expectation, the thought that Carson should be angry, bitter, resentful, just really get upset with management, Howie Roseman, how could you do this? That kind, I wanted to dive into why Carson, even though he may have, even if he has, like we all do, moments of self-doubt or moments of really looking at your situation and going, well, what's happening here? Because we're all going to have that. How he allows himself to really embrace moments like this and really have a different perspective. And that's why we're talking today about when you have a view of that isn't worldly, when you live in the world but you're not of the world, you can navigate through. We can get through what may look like it should be a negative or what should be something that we're upset about. And he says in the conversation how it's all part of God's big plan, and it's bigger than him. Everything is bigger than him. So he looks at it like that and says, well, you know, tell me about what kind of, first thing he wanted to know was what kind of player, what kind of person is he? What's the kid like? How is he? And he got to hear a little bit about him, and then he reached out to him. But what Carson mentioned, and I know you want to touch on, is one of my favorite Bible verses, Romans 12:2, and he talks about the renewal of mind. So go ahead and read that one.
So Romans 12:2, this is from the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, the word I want to touch on is changing. So it doesn't say God will transform you into this new person and change the way you think. There is a changing. There is a process that keeps going and going and going.
It's not instantaneous.
It's not an instantaneous thing. So you have to do work, as we touched on before, and you have to continue to work on yourself, and you have to continue to ask God to help you with that transformation. So you, every time something comes your way, like Carson and, you know,
his situation,
new, he's I'm sure he sat down and prayed about it.
No doubt.
And I'm sure he consulted the Holy Spirit and decided, okay, this is something I need help with, and this is something I want to work on, and this is something, you know what I mean? And this is how his mind keeps transforming every day.
And in his situation, there's so many of these things that happen over the course of his season.
Right.
You know, you get injured, something happens.
It's not easy.
Media may take things out of context, and how do I react? How do I handle it? And it's constant prayer.
Gosh, I'm sure even his injuries and things like that, these are even more, to me, I think it would be more weighing on his soul than anything. So it takes a lot of transformation. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little and with every single scenario and situation. Because if you say to yourself, no, I'm transformed today, this is it, I'm going to be good, guess what? Life is going to throw a curveball at you the next day, and you're going to be like, whoops, I'm back where I started. I don't know what to do with this one. This is bigger than me. And that's how life helps you grow. And this is how God helps you grow, by the things that just life happens, and you just need to keep evolving, and you need to keep going.
I love this verse. That I pray about it. I've said it before. I constantly pray about it. I constantly ask the Lord to really transform my mind and really transform how I feel and how I think, because sometimes in the course of a day, there will be 7, 8, 9 times where I'll think something and I'll be like, I don't want to even think that way. Or something happens.
We were just talking about it before.
I don't even want to feel that way. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to have insecurities. I don't want to have jealousies. I don't want to have any kinds of these behaviors. I don't want to have those. And then when we have those, it's not unnatural. It doesn't make us wrong, and it doesn't make us a bad person, but that's where constantly getting in the Word, constantly praying about it, constantly calling on, drawing on the Holy Spirit to live within us, to help us through them, to help us navigate through that, because it's, as you said, it's a gradual process. Mm-hmm. We have to keep working on it. All of these things, we have to keep working on them, and it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. People may never understand that. And in a guy like Carson's case, he's going to constantly be scrutinized, no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
And he understands that there are people who are going to put him on a pedestal and love everything about him. Right. Then there are people who are going to hate everything about him. And that includes his willingness to share his faith. And I am truly appreciative. How often have I been able... I think Carson's been on this show like four, five, six times. We've done events together. Right. I hosted his AO1 Philly Gala, the foundation last year, that event. So I've been able to talk to him and get to know him. And the first time I sat down with Carson to talk about his faith was before he was even the Eagles starting quarterback.
Wow.
It was training camp the year he got drafted. They still had Sam Bradford. So I was going to do a story for AP on this number 2 overall pick that the Eagles drafted, who is now expected to start the season as the third string quarterback, because they had Sam Bradford, they had Chase Daniel, and Carson was going to be the number 3, and they spent all these premium draft picks trading for him, and he's going to sit the bench and watch. He's not even going to dress unless somebody gets hurt. That's what the expectation was. So it's training camp, and I set up an interview, and I sat down with him, and he has the AO1 tattoo, AO1 on his wrist. And I knew him an audience of one, and I just, that led into a conversation about faith and about who he is. And obviously, since then, we've gotten to know each other, and the conversations have become deeper and deeper, and that AO1 tattoo turned into a foundation that he started.
Awesome.
And then the 8 days before the season started, the Eagles traded Sam Bradford and then elevated Carson from number 3 to starting quarterback.
See, that's so plan right there.
He became starter right away, right?
Yeah.
So that would have been difficult for him as a competitor to sit and have to watch, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But he trusts in his relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So when there are certain issues and certain things that are happening within his team, his career, he can draw on that, and I think that we can always do that. And if people don't understand that, that's okay. We're not. I try and say all the time, I'm not here to please other people. I'm here to please the Lord.
Yeah.
So some people will hear Carson's interview that we just had, and because, as I said earlier, and I'm grateful that 97.5 The Fanatic was able to air it in its entirety on Mike's show. Some people will hear that and not like the fact that he is so faith-based, that his foundation, they won't like that. Some people will go, well, does that make him relate to fans? Does that make him unrelatable to a segment of fans who aren't believers?
Right.
Now, his job isn't to care about being relatable.
Yeah.
He feels, and he's driven by his identity being in Christ. That is his foundation. And all of us, if our foundation is in the Lord,
right,
we can't live to please other people and go, well, I have to be politically correct here. I have to say what everyone, I have to hold back on my feelings. I have to hold back on my faith. And he knows when we have those conversations together, I give him the freedom to just go for it, right?
But he's honoring God before men, and that's the way you're supposed to live. Because if you honor God before men, God will offer you, it will honor you when you go to heaven. So that's the thing, and you have to always keep that perspective. Honestly, if you leave all of us and just take that one verse and live by that verse that we talked about, Romans 12:2, you will be set, you'll be good to go, because one, you're renewing your mind, and we have to always think of how we think.
Well, you do have to start with John 3:16. For God so loved the
world.
Well,
no,
right?
I'm talking like the second step. You know?
Okay.
Like we've got
from
that
what
one,
we discussed today.
From what, we, discussed from what today. We discussed today. And then we just learned that the will of God for us, if we surrender everything and then accept the will of God for us, mm-hmm. we will know that the will of God for us is good, pleasing, and perfect. And those are things that, I mean, wouldn't you want good, pleasing, and perfect life? I mean, I want that for my life. And I
don't mean it's not going to be messy sometimes.
Yeah, it's messy. It's messy. But the funny thing is we've lived, sometimes we've done things outside the will of God because we rushed things, you know. And how did that turn out?
We forced it. Sometimes.
Not fun.
How often have we tried to force our will on the will
of
God?
Did.
Oh, no, I want it my way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it this way.
We did that, and then we learned the lesson, you know what I mean? And then we decided, no, from this point on, we're going to just live by the will of God. We just have to pray about it and see where the will of God is going to take us, and it's always turned out wonderful. And if take it from us, that living by the will of God is the best way to live.
Yeah, because we know what it was like to live on our own and not to live by the will
that
of God.
Not fun.
And if we can, if you can focus on living by God's will, not allowing what this world values to shape your view and to really change that lens so your view can change. Man, when we do that, it's something that I strive for. That's something that I am constantly working on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that lens, it gets foggy for me, right? Sometimes it gets really foggy.
Yeah.
And I have to take it all and I got to
clean it up.
And I got to get the disinfectant on there.
Yes.
And I got to really
soap and water.
Reshape that lens and refocus that lens. But if that lens is on God and not on the world, everything is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going to work out.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yes,
I really enjoyed. Thank you to Carson for being on the show. Thank you to all of our guests each week. Thank you to all of everyone out there who listens and follows. Feel free to share about this show as much as you can. We truly appreciate it. Big thank you to Doug Horton, who handles all of our business. Big thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does for us on our website, our podcast, our blog. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Pastor Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.